Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application. This week, we have a depressed girl, a white supremacist gang, and Paul Blart. The movie's fresh, but we want to know, is it really though? What is good, Podcast Land, and welcome to another episode of ERT. Is it really though? Hashtag ERT. Movie where we judge the podcast where we judge movies based on their Rotten Tomato score. My name is Matt, and with me as always is Ty.
What's up? What's up?
And let's get our business out of the way. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Matt Really THO. At is it really THO20? Head over to Apple iTunes, leave a review. 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever. Those are acceptable.
Stars. Let's do some stars. Let's start with that.
Yeah, let's do some stars.
Some stars.
Some stars, some reviews.
You can even like flip a coin or roll a dice. I don't care. Let's get some.
Get some. Something, something.
Get some.
And let's go ahead and announce the Twitter polls from last week. I actually did delayed the Lucy poll and then last week's Anna poll. Lucy, everybody thought that it was way better than the 67% that Rotten Tomatoes gave it. Nobody voted that it was worse. Nobody voted that that was accurate. Everybody said it was better. Anna, the same thing, which surprised me. Well, not really, because Anna had such a low score that it wasn't surprising that everybody said that it was better. So
yeah, they shit on that movie for sure.
Yeah. But that's the business for this week.
Business.
The Twitter polls.
Yeah.
Dude, you need to come closer to your mic.
It's like almost in my mouth. Like, seriously. Yeah,
put it down your throat.
It's fucking annoying is what it is.
Hey,
is that better?
You gotta please the people. Yeah.
Ert.
So how's your week been, man?
It has been pretty good. Been sitting in the hot tub. Kids and wife got back safe from Arizona. My youngest is sick, so that sucks.
That always sucks balls.
Other than that, it's been pretty good. Pretty low key. Pretty chill, actually.
Yeah.
So, no complaints, really.
Had some business in the podcast world behind the scenes this week. We're trying out Zencaster for the first time. We're not with each other, but we can actually see each other with video call and everything. That's kind of weird. So
yeah, it is kind of weird. I know how I feel. My kids
needed to do remotely this week because we had, some COVID stuff.
Yeah.
Just trying to be safe.
That's on my end as well.
Lunch
lady.
But we got a new mic, so
yep.
Hopefully this sounds 1,000 times better for you guys.
Yep.
Got that Blue Yeti. I know a lot of people use that, so excited to
I got a toner.
To use that, but you got a toner.
I got the OG. I got the original.
The OG. Yeah.
This is the ERT original.
Speaking of like our mics and stuff like that, we weren't really when we first jumped into podcasting, we were just kind of like, whatever, we'll use whatever mic. And we got the lapel mics that you would clip on your shirt or something when you're doing an interview.
Yeah.
And those things were garbage.
Oh yeah.
one of them sounded super upfront, and the other one, like, it could be in Ty's mouth and it would sound like he's 40 miles away.
Right. I don't know how this sounds. I haven't heard any playback yet, so I'm counting on you to.
This sounds real. When you get it right in your throat, like right in your mouth, like that, it sounds great. And then we jumped to these ones that we bought off Amazon, and we didn't know. You would think that a mic would just record in every direction, but it doesn't. It only records in one direction. It was omnidirectional. So
we got nice a term. Mic
now. Yeah, I know.
Omnidirectional. Well,
mine has all of them. Now it's got four settings. So when we get in person and stuff, it'll be able to pick up on both sides and we should sound pretty clear.
Moving on up.
Just as long as we're not like having to be right on top of the stupid mic.
Yeah.
But, so we got some new stuff. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. Hopefully it's better quality. Hopefully it's better for everybody.
The last piece of the puzzle. The audio. Yeah,
we're getting the hang of this. We're only 34 episodes in. We're getting the hang of it. You know,
Rome wasn't built in a day.
Right. It took years to build Rome.
Oh yeah.
You watch anything this week?
Oh hell yeah, man. I was all over it, dude. I got into like a Terminator phase. I don't know why. There was literally no rhyme or reason. I didn't see anything. My kids and my wife were gone, and I'm like, man, I just kinda wanna watch something. And there's six movies. Am I correct? Six movies?
Yeah.
And I finished five of them. And it was pretty cool. I mean, you can totally tell the difference between like a James Cameron film and people I have not heard of before. Now, I'm not shitting on the movies, but it's kind of like Domino's Pizza versus like School Pizza.
Right.
Does that make sense? It's like they were entertaining because it like carried the story on, but they were whatever. I watched WandaVision.
Yeah, we'll get into our WandaVision talk.
Watch Becky, obviously. I totally forgot you might have been sleeping when I was texting you last night about it. I was like, oh shit, he has to get up earlier now. Damn, I watched something else. I'm trying to remember what it was. Man, I can't remember. This always happens. And then I'll like...
Every week, dude.
I'll like
every
just week. Randomly blurt it out in like a half an hour. I'm like, oh yeah, I watched that too. No, I think it was just the Terminator stuff. I watched like the first 20 minutes of Straight Outta Compton. Like, it's a great
movie. That's a good movie.
Such a good movie. And then I started watching this movie tonight with my kids called We Can Be Heroes with Pedro Pascal in it.
Okay.
It's like a kiddie movie. It's like
Mando, huh?
It's like a 2020, and it has that guy in it. It's got Shooter McGavin in it. It's got the main army guy from Predators.
Okay.
This actually has like a lot of like names that I never would have like thought would associated with like a kiddie movie. Like first person I saw was the Mando, and I was like, "What the fuck?" That's about all I watched that I can remember. Yes, just Terminators. And it was willingly.
Just Terminators, okay.
It wasn't just on TV. I actually had to physically go
right
find them. So I got off my lazy streak there. What about you?
this documentary on Netflix called The Cecil Hotel, like the mystery of the vanishing of the Cecil Hotel. Have you seen that?
No, not yet. My wife fell asleep when I showed her the preview. So it looks good. Yeah, it looks really, really good. So
it's really good. I've heard a lot from all my true crime podcasts that I listen to and stuff like that. It's the Elise Lam case. If you haven't heard that.
I thought it was crazy that like she made the habit of like checking into the police every day.
Those are parents, not the police.
Oh, okay. So that, okay, I must have misheard that because I thought it said that she...
Yeah, she would call her parents every day and let her know like where she's at, okay. She's visit, like stuff like that. It wasn't the police, no.
Crazy.
But I watched that. And that was really good. My wife actually watched that one with me. And then I also watched more Twin Peaks. So I'm on season 2 now. Season one was meh, nothing great. But like I said, I tweeted out a little while ago that season two has just gone off the rails.
Right.
It's just totally like bonkers as far as stuff that's going on, and
it's hitting the fan.
I mean, yeah, like, and it, I love it because it doesn't make sense. Like, it does not. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to why anything's happening. So, but then, yeah, obviously I watched WandaVision, I watched Becky. So that's all that I've watched so far. Do you have any movie news this week before we get into our WandaVision discussion? We're actually going to, it's going to be a little bit, maybe longer discussion talk, because we have seriously like six facts for this movie. There is not a lot.
I mean, a lot happens in the movie, but it's over like a 4-hour time period.
Right. We're going to have a lot to talk about when we get to the movie, but the
what the facts. I didn't think there would be a lot, but I mean, I don't really have, I watched the Red Band trailer. If you don't know what Red Band trailers are, they are trailers that do not edit and they show like explicit content like of the Mortal Kombat today. So it was cool seeing like the blood and like a sneak peek at like a fatality.
Yeah, I'm wondering, that Mortal Kombat trailer looks sick.
I'm wondering who like the main villain boss is going to be. I saw Goro in there.
Yeah, Shang Tsung was in there.
Yeah, but I don't know. What's the other guy's name? Lao Kahn?
I don't know. I forget the dude that's above Shang Tsung.
But Mortal Kombat 1996 version is on BBC AM in about an hour and 3 minutes. So I don't really have
nobody. Nobody watches it that way anymore.
What? On TV?
And by the time, that this comes out, it'll be long over. So
wow, that's just what's happening in real time right here at ERT headquarters. Mortal Kombat's on in an hour. I thought of one. I saw one today that I cannot remember. I was like, oh, I should probably think of this one. Oh, apparently I did read that Paul Bettany today said that a surprise cameo is someone who we haven't seen yet for WandaVision.
It's Reed Richards. Here it comes. It's Reed Richards.
So it's
Jim Halpert as Reed Richards.
It's going to be Jim Halpert, though.
Yeah,
is that like
I'm pretty sure that's who got cast. That
like, who we want to see with it? And then isn't his wife going to be?
I'm pretty sure those are.
Isn't his wife going to be his wife in the comics? Emily Blunt.
I thought that's what they were talking about. Yeah, Emily Blunt was going to be.
What else did I hear?
Sue Storm is her name. Yeah.
Sue Storm. I always just remember Jessica Alba playing it. And Chris Evans was.
I like those movies.
Chris Evans was in that.
Human Torch.
Shit, what else? That's really all. I don't really have a whole lot of news. I've been kind of staying off Twitter as much as I can. So that's where I get it all. And I'm not going to watch Extra.
Are you excited for Tom and Jerry that comes out next week?
I saw like a half preview of it. I'm more excited for my kids to watch it. I was never really a Tom and Jerry fan growing up. I was more of the Scooby-Doo guy. So, I don't know. Scooby-Doo, man. I got them on DVD.
I'm excited for it. I was a Tom and Jerry guy.
I mean, when it was on, I'd watch it when nothing else was on. But like, if there was something else on, I totally didn't watch it. So, but I'm pumped for my kids to watch it.
All right, so let's get into our discussion of WandaVision for this week. So if you have not seen WandaVision episode, what is this, six?
Six.
Six. Do not listen. Just fast forward 15, 20 minutes. I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to be, but just find it to where we're not talking about WandaVision anymore.
Yes. Scroll forward.
So what did you think of this episode? Let's hear your thoughts.
It was pretty good. I mean, it's like building to something, obviously. I mean, every time I watch an episode, I just scour Facebook and the internet for like Easter eggs and shit. And the big one this week was that her brother is going to be Nightmare. I don't think I know who this character is. But it plays off of the two boys who are actually, they actually have their own comic book series when they get older. Did you know that?
Yeah, I have. I did know that. I don't remember.
So it's like they finally figure out they have abilities on trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
So, and then one of the other Easter eggs was when it showed Wanda and her brother as, when they were younger and they were trick-or-treating, they said one looked like Samuel L. Jackson with the eye patch and the other one was Black Widow. But aside from that, I thought it was good how, you know, you can kind of see Vision's kind of wondering what's going on even further, because he said he's doing neighborhood watch and he's actually walking to the edge of town seeing what's going on and how weird it is, and he actually steps through the hexagon or whatever it's called. And but I mean, we'll see. When she expanded that, they're saying this could be how you get a bunch of new mutants or Marvel characters, because they all went through the hexagon when she expanded it to get Vision back in it. So
yeah, I
thought it was good.
All pretty much what they're trying to do as far as bringing other characters in and stuff like that. Just trying to, I mean, it's an easy way to bring all these mutants in if they use the hex as the reason that they get the abilities and stuff like that.
Yep.
So what did you think about, so, I mean, Pedro obviously knows like what's going on. He knows that she is, doing this, like she's not sitting there and she's, it's like not like an accident or anything, like he knows that she's controlling this town and stuff like that. And then it flashed to like him dying or being dead, like it did the Vision flash. And so yeah.
I wonder if that's gonna like come together at one point.
Yeah, I think,
because that's the third person now, right?
Maybe at least two, at least Vision and him, to show that they're dead. Yeah, I thought it was a good episode, though. I love that they threw a way to get the way they look in the comics into the actual.
Oh, like Quicksilver? Shows. Yeah. It looked terrible as a human, though. Yeah, it did not look very good to me.
If they walked around with those as far as the actual comic adaptation of their costumes, the movies would have been a lot different, I think. I don't think they would have been taken so seriously.
They were horrible. That was terrible. But yeah, I mean, this felt like a filler episode to me.
It was.
Like, it didn't really give you a whole lot, but it kind of did at the same time. Like, I don't know. I was kind of hoping to get more steam with that Agatha character, but I don't feel like that's going to be the Agatha chick, because she's like at that stop sign in the show and he tries to unhypnotize her and she's like a regular person and then he puts her back. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that lost all momentum from that scene right there, that she's the, like the main witch controlling everything. But yeah, they did point out that they said the word nightmare a bunch of times in this episode. So it could be foretelling that for somebody called Nightmare who can control Wanda's something. I don't know. I don't know anything about Nightmare. So let me know if you do.
So I think it also kind of explained a little bit. I don't know anything about Nightmare really. But I think it explained a little bit about what you've been trying to hit on all season so far, with how Wanda is controlling Vision to do this stuff as far as like go to library and do all this stuff as far as that. So like it hit that like Vision, the further out of town that he goes, the less active the people are. They're still under control, but they're like barely moving and they're just stuck in time. And so I think that
like, when she's doing the laundry, did you see that part when it's like going back and forth, like she's trying to hang up the towel or something? It's like, it's literally like you walk through like a ride at Disney, like the Pirates of the Caribbean.
they're
like doing the same thing, like yo ho, and it's just like swinging the beer mug back and forth, you know?
But you could tell that she was stuck there because she had that one tear that was hanging down her, that was coming down her eye. And so she was crying about that. But I think that it's going to explain a lot once it gets older. I don't know, or when it expands a little bit further, but I don't know as far as like how powerful Wanda is as far as this goes. Like, cause she just moved that, the hex quite a ways this episode.
Like, it like took a car dealership, and I thought that was kind of cool how it like absorbed things, and then it turned it in like that fair. The used car lot was like
in a circus or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool how they do. I mean, they're pushing some. I mean, it's, I think I'm liking it more because it's not like your traditional, like, there's a one bad guy who's the common element that they're trying to fight. It's like, you honestly have no idea what it is. And it's like, I kind of like how they're doing a different decade every episode.
Yeah, this last episode I loved because it was a total take on Malcolm in the Middle.
It totally was.
And I loved Malcolm in the Middle. That was one of my favorite shows. And so it was really cool seeing that one show back up. Disney did announce that they're going to be hour-long episodes now. So,
yeah, but it's actually 38 minutes, but people are pissed because there's 22 minutes of credits.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
That's what they're like so pissed about. They're like, oh, Disney announces hour-long episodes, but you've got 20 minutes of credits. It's like, why do you have to have so many credits? There's no cutscenes, as far as I know. I haven't actually gone that far because everything's saying there's no cutscene.
Well, there's a lot of it because I know that some of it was, I don't know if we discussed this in our episode or not. I don't think we did. But some of it was filmed in Georgia. Some of it's filmed in California. So they're jumping back and forth as far as filming locations. I don't know if that has a lot to do with credits. I'm sure it does. There's a lot of people working on that.
Yeah, a lot of people. Long, though?
It's a, I don't know.
I get it.
Yeah, no,
I want to get everybody in there. You want to give credit where it's due, but it's like
your credit ratio is way off. That's for sure.
You're almost at 50-50. It's like, come on.
Yeah, it really needs to be.
Give me like 8 minutes,
like 4 to 5 minutes, and then like 5 or 6 minutes of credits. But
yeah,
it is, it's ridiculous when it boils down.
Even when even when the episode's over, like on my Apple TV, like I'll hit the top part to like pause it to go back, and it still shows a good like 12 minutes, and I'm like, oh shit, maybe there's a cutscene. So then I go through and I'm like, okay, this is just credits. So,
and that's one thing that I've been kind of sucked about this series is that Marvel's got you so conditioned to sit there and wait through all those credits that first time that it came up and they're like the first episode and there's 9 minutes of credits after that first episode. If it wasn't for Disney Plus sitting there saying like play next episode because the first two were dropped back to back, I would have just sat through all those credits. I just assumed that once they said play next episode that there was no cutscene or anything. But I think that also would probably be too hard with a half hour show to have a little stinger at every episode, you know.
I bet we get one in the finale though.
Yeah, maybe in the finale. Yeah. I think
they said that they're gonna have content every week now for the next year.
Well, yeah, because like we said before, after this
Falcon and Winter Soldier's overlapping this one.
Yeah, they're just back to back now.
Yeah. So I mean, it'll be cool, man. I'm excited to see where it goes. I mean, it's got to be Reed Richards.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's who they're pulling in here.
Who else could it be?
I don't know.
There was another. There was a picture of a comic book, or there was like I don't know, a lot of them like based off their comic book photos. Like, there was Reed Richards, there was Doctor Strange, and then there was like some black dude with like white hair. So I don't know who that would be. I mean, I'm not detailed. I mean, I'm Marvel, like with what I see on main. I never had the comic books actually. So I'm just like, I saw it in between stores today and I was going to Google it, but I have no idea.
I don't know on that 100%, but I do know that
it looked like a badass.
The rights to Punisher and Jessica Jones reverted back to Marvel today.
Well, there's a petition to kill Punisher off.
Yeah, and that's political, and we're not going to get into that.
Know.
So
I know. Yeah, I'm not doing it either. But I'm just like, come on, that Punisher. On side note, Punisher on Netflix was badass. That actor who plays him in that is born for that role.
Yeah, he was the first time John Boyega or something, or is his name. I first saw him in Walking Dead was the first thing I saw him.
Yeah, that's the first time I saw him too. It was in Walking Dead.
Yeah.
He was banging his dude that his best friend's wife. Damn.
Oh, yeah, Carl.
Oh, Carl's a kid.
I know, but yeah, that's all I remember is Carl or when his wife died.
In that. Yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert! If you haven't seen.
Yeah. But WandaVision season 8, 1 a.m. tonight.
Yep, coming out soon. So excited to see where it goes. I'm excited to see Jim Halpert show up. So that'll be cool.
I don't know, man. I don't feel like that's gonna happen.
I bet you it will.
I feel like it's gonna be Magneto. Oh, I did. Sorry, I did. This is what I was gonna say earlier. Is that they actually got Kevin Feige and what's his name who played Professor X? The old guy.
Oh, Captain Kirk guy? Captain Picard?
Was that him?
Is that what you're talking about?
He said he wanted to reprise his role as Professor X, but after Logan, him and Hugh Jackman both retired that character for them.
Yeah.
That he was in, like, he'd be interested in doing it, but he's sticking to his. That he's like, nah, I'm good. I retired. I'm done with that character. I took it as far as I can go.
And now that they introduced this Quicksilver, I think they have to go with the Fassbender Magneto. If they do,
I mean, I feel like all those characters are going to be the younger versions. But I don't know what they're going to do about Wolverine.
Here, I found out today that my co-host hasn't seen any of those. That blows my mind.
No, I haven't seen any of them. I watched like. All the way to 3, the first trilogy. And then I watched the Wolverine one where I saw the part in a Wolverine. I don't know what it was where they had the original Ryan Reynolds Deadpool with his mouth. So yeah, I saw that fight scene.
That's the very end of that movie.
Yep, caught that. And then the one where he's in Japan or something and they take away his regenerative thing.
Yeah,
the Wolverine. And then I saw Logan.
And the new one, First Class, Days of Future Past, and Apocalypse, and then the Dark Phoenix. The first two are good. Apocalypse is pretty good. It's better than I think what people think it is as far as that. But I haven't seen Dark Phoenix yet.
It's got really bad ratings.
It's got a 25% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's really bad. But
that chick who plays Jean Grey was in Game of Thrones.
That's Mrs. Jonas to you, sir.
She married a Jonas.
She's married to Joe Jonas. Sophia Turner.
Yeah. Don't. I mean, I never got. I mean, whatever. Cool. Jonas Brothers. Yay. Super cool, man.
All right, so we'll take a break then, and we'll come back on the other side, and we will do a super quick version of what the facts, because they're not a lot. So, all right, man, hit me with the facts. What the facts for Becky?
This movie was the Kevin James debut of a dramatic role. He's never played a villain before. So this was interesting to see him. It literally took me a double take to make sure that my brain wasn't like functioning incorrectly to be like, dude, that's Kevin James.
Yeah, it was crazy to see him in this movie as far as the dramatic acting. He's always been in Adam Sandler movies. I love the Adam Sandler movies. I thought that they're some of my favorite, like, grown-ups. I literally can put that on at any time and I will laugh at it. It is one of my comfort movies, I guess.
That was on a dinner night. Like, Paramount plays Grown-Ups and Grown-Ups 2 all the time, every weekend. And it's so good every time I watch it.
So to see him play that role and not a comedic role was good. I mean, it wasn't like he didn't do a bad job. So. It definitely was, it was good, but it just was weird. You know, it's like when the first time that you see anybody do, like when Jim Carrey and Truman Show or something, or like anytime they do a Owen dramatic McGregor role.
Owen McGregor and, what's it called? I'm never going to let that go.
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan?
Yeah, not Owen.
Oh, it's not Owen? It's Ewan?
No, it's Ewan.
I feel like I knew that. Oh, he was in what was that movie?
You were talking about Birds of Prey when we had an American accent, or Dr. Sleep. No,
Dr. Sleep, man. That's what I was talking about. So it's going to be weird watching him play Obi-Wan again now that I've got Dr. Sleep on the brain.
So Simon Pegg was originally slated to play the villain until he dropped out in May of 2019 due to scheduling conflicts. Kevin James was then announced as his replacement a month later. So if you don't know Simon Pegg, he's Shaun of the Dead, Star Trek. I mean, all those Hot Fuzz, stuff like that. But I think that Kevin James, I mean, he nailed it. I don't think that it was... I can't take Simon Pegg
that serious. Like, I can't take Kevin James that serious, but Kevin James has, like, the build.
Like, you at least believe him as, like, a big, like, bully, like, gang, like, yeah. You know, inmate. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see Simon Pegg doing that at all. He's, like, wiry. He's built like me.
Yeah.
He's bossing that 8-foot dude around. Yeah, right.
So, before we go into some of these facts, let's go ahead and throw spoilers out there, because I know at least one of them, there's a spoiler. It's not really a spoiler as far as like what happens in the movie. It's just a scene that happens in the movie. So if you haven't seen Becky, once again, go watch it. If you aren't, you know, by this point, you know, we spoil the shit out of these movies. So, but I just want to throw that out there. So go ahead. Sorry. Didn't want to cut you off, but
you're good. I don't have a whole lot on this. Like, Lulu Wilson, who plays Becky, said she would 100% do a sequel, but do not really know how they would ever do that.
I think they could do it. I think they could easily come up with some way to come off with something.
No way. And it would be stupid.
When we get into the movie, I'll tell you how they could come off with a sequel, okay? So, so Joel McHale is in this movie, and he portrays Jeff, is his name, in this movie. His character in Community, I've never seen that. Have you?
Nope.
His character in Community was also named Jeff. So I just know him from Talk Soup.
That's all I know him from. Yeah. I mean, he's got movies that I've seen him in, but that's all I remember is Talk Soup.
Right. But he's never like a main or a lead or anything like that. So,
Lulu Wilson was 11 years old when she first read the script. So this came out last year. So she was 15 or 14 when they filmed it, I think, because she's 16 now, I believe.
So she had the script a long time ago. So this has been in the works then, apparently, for a while.
I mean, it's what they call, like, some guy put it on here, like, it's a gory surprise. Like, it really is.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I'm not going to lie. I was pissed that I had to watch it. Well, not pissed, but, like, I was surprised.
Yeah. And so here's my last fact, and this is the spoiler fact, but for the scene where Kevin James had to cut off his dangling eyeball, the prosthetic proved harder to cut than expected, and the shot went on a long time with him screaming and cutting before he finally succeeded and then bursted out laughing while he was filming that.
Man.
Like, could you imagine being an actor and having your eyeball dangling out, or a fake eyeball, obviously, and you're trying to cut it off, you just can't get it, right? And you're trying to be in pain, but it just is funny. And I just think that would be, and I think that's why some of these actors are so, and obviously they get cuts and takes and everything like that, but for what they can do as far as to play a serious role, or comedic role, or yeah, to improv on the spot or whatever, I think it's pretty cool.
Yep, I agree completely. But yeah, I don't have anything else.
You don't have anything else? All right. So we will play the trailer and we'll come back and we'll get into our discussion of Becky.
What happened by your Ford, Becky?
Search continues for four inmates who escaped federal custody this morning. Authorities say the men are armed and extremely dangerous.
Come on, boy, let's go swimming. Let's
Can you wait a sec?
What is she doing here?
You let her walk all over you.
She's 13.
Jeff, this gentleman lost his dog.
Okay, well, why don't you give us your number?
My dog is a Rottweiler. Purebred, or as the Germans call them,
Weiler Metzgerhund. That's why you never let them mate with other breeds. You get the worst of both.
Okay, I think it's time for you to go.
Stay calm. I'm looking for a key. It has this symbol engraved on it. You seen it? No. Well, that leaves little Becky. Where's Becky?
Wait.
He's gonna hold your dad still while I hurt him.
I'm not gonna let them get away with this. Was a little girl.
Becky!
And she was good.
Stop running!
She was very, very good. And when she was bad,
hey!
She was horrible.
What was the point of all of this? For a key?
It's worth much more than that.
Becky! You're clearly a special girl!
I don't want to have to hurt you.
But I do want to hurt you real bad.
All right, that was the trailer for Becky. We'll just get the rundown going here. This movie is rated R, came out in 2020, June 5th of 2020 to be exact. So, but it was limited, obviously. It got Rona'd. It went straight to streaming on June 5th. It had a box office gross of $178,000. So
what?
not a lot, but it's the Rona time, so you really had like people like me that bought this movie because I saw the trailer for it, and the VOD rentals and stuff like that. So it has a runtime of 1 hour 33 minutes. It stars Kevin James, Lulu Wilson, Joel McHale, Amanda Bruegel, Ryan James McDonald, Robert Mallett, and that is literally the whole cast.
Eight. Yeah, there's only like eight people.
It is. Yeah. It is defined as a mystery thriller, which I do not know if that is a correct assumption.
Mystery? Nah. Thriller? Yeah. Gory? Yeah.
There's no mystery. I guess there is a little mystery, but not a lot. But it is directed by Jonathan Milliot and Carrie Mirren. It has a 71% on the tomato meter and a 56% on the audience score. So like last week we were flip-flop. This week we are critics love it, audience not so much. So I'm going to go ahead and give my plot of this movie, and then you give the actual plot, okay?
All right.
So Becky is a girl who just lost her mother, and her dad is remarrying, and he's trying to bribe her, have a good old family weekend with his new girlfriend, and they just so happen to live by this gang, and the gang wants something in their house and they stand in the way, and Becky goes on a rampage after she sees her dad get killed.
You just like gave the whole movie in your...
I know. I'm really bad at this as far as like a super quick plot. I'm like, you got to know this and you got to know this and you got to know this. I don't know.
Yeah.
A super quick plot. Well, Becky goes on a rampage and kills a bunch of people.
That's a lot better. But a teenager's weekend at a lake house with her father takes a turn for the worse when a group of convicts wreaks havoc on their lives.
That's exactly what I said, but shorter.
No.
So this movie,
Becky, Mott loses her mom, her dad dies. They torture. She kills four dudes, and then she's wearing a chipmunk hat.
Trying to give the people what they want, man. Trying to tell them about this movie.
An eight minute rundown. All right, so let's get to it. Tomato meter was what do you got? Is it really though? All right, deuces. See you next week.
So this movie starts off with, I mean, it shows, it does one of those, you know, past tense things where Becky's being interviewed in an office and you don't know exactly what's going on. They're asking her about like what happened to this guy in the orange camo shirt. And then it flashbacks and it flashes back to the beginning of this, you know, this trip. And like we said, like this movie does flow really fast. Like the first 30 minutes of this movie is just really showing the relationship between Becky and her dad.
She's a teenager though, so she's supposed to hate her dad at 13.
Well, and her dad, her mom just died, so she's got that angst, and her dad is, he's moving on. He's not, I mean, he's obviously got a new girlfriend, and he wants to marry her and stuff like that, so you can tell that Becky's troubled.
I mean, yeah, you put yourself in that situation. I mean, I think any 13-year-old would probably be a little pissed off hearing that after a year, if you lose your mom, that the dad's like, I don't know, I guess people fall in love really quick nowadays. It's like, yeah. What? You know? I don't know. A year after, that just seems quick to me, but hey, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. So,
that like sums up the first 30 minutes of the movie. Sorry to interrupt.
The only other thing that happens in the first 30 minutes of the movie is there's this gang that they keep showing in prison, and they escape from prison. And you can obviously tell that they are, what do you want to say? White supremacist, Nazi.
Oh, absolutely. Hands down. Like the first view you see of Kevin James, he's got a swastika on the back of his head.
Yeah. Aryan Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Type of gang. So, that's literally the first 30 minutes. I mean, there's not really much to talk about. It's just the developing of the relationship. So I think when you get to the action, it
makes more sense.
Yeah. Like it's harder.
Yeah. Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about that. What did you think? So I have seen this movie before. I bought this movie when it came out. I saw the trailer for it. I thought it looked really good. And I knew kind of like what I was expecting. You obviously did not know you were getting into when you signed up to watch this movie.
I mean, I watched the trailer when you told me about it, when you bought it. And then I actually watched probably the first 10 minutes to when the, like right when you got it, I think I watched to the part where she was like watching that video of her mom when she was at the gas station, but then I just fell asleep. But my God, dude. I don't know what it was. Like, everything was like, I'm not a doctor or anything like that, but everything was like, when she'd kill these people, they were like pretty damn, like, I'm assuming spot on, which what would happen in real life. Like, when she stabs that dude in the neck and the blood would trickle faster with a heartbeat.
Yeah.
If you caught that. When she mowed that dude's fucking face off, like half the face was gone and you could see the other half because the lawnmower blade. I'm like, that fucking sounds plausible to me. Like, you fucking gut that dude. Like, I'm telling you all the kills right now, but like, I did not expect how like gory and graphic it was. And I've seen some like gory and graphic shit in my day. Like, I used to watch Faces of Death or whatever on the internet. Like, that's real shit. But this one was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, the eye scene started it off, and then it was just like, let's just keep going with it, I guess. Fuck.
It totally throws you for a loop. Man.
That eyeball scene was fucking disgusting.
Oh, I was so hoping that Jess would have watched this with you because I want to see her reaction.
No, if I got her to watch this with me, she would have turned it off when they stole the car from that guy because the kids were back. She would have turned it off, literally cussed me out and went to bed. Because you don't fuck with kids or animals. As soon as you mess with those two things, she is done. Yeah. No matter what happens. Like,
That was surprising. So right away. So they have two dogs. They have, I forget, Diego and another dog's name. I forget it because the other one dies really fast. The dude, when they get there, one of the gang guys, there's four of them.
I like the fat one.
The fat one, yeah.
Fat bald one. Well, there's two fat bald ones, but.
Yeah, so he said, they just fire three shots into the dog. Like, so it was super fast. Like, so that's unexpected.
So the gore, hold on, they gotta go back. Like, to kind of set this premise up, like, she gets in a fight with her dad because he's getting a fiance. So she leaves the lake house to go to her little clubhouse. And that's when the gang guys, or the, not gang guys, but the prisoners come in and, like, take them hostage. Her dad, his fiance, and her, I think he's probably like a 7-year-old son. So then she sees these guys. I don't know. I feel like we should have, like, she sees these two dudes. Yeah, she's in her clubhouse. Oh, we're going to go back to that?
Yeah. Well, because I was just trying to, like, kind of, like, discuss a little bit overall broadly about the movie for a little bit. But because there is some stuff on here, like, the race issue that I want to talk to you about. Because, so, like, Kevin James is obviously a white supremacist, Nazi, gang leader, whatever it is. Yep. And this family that he's just so happened to. So the whole plot is they have this key in this house that is leads to a box or something. You never really find out, like, what it is that they are looking for. They're just looking for the key to unlock it. It just so happens to be this house. That was the one movies bro moment that I had. Like, they had to get these guys here to this place,
to this house.
And so, but the family that is there now, Joel, his dad, Jeff, or Becky's dad, Jeff, his new family is a black woman and her son. And so the family is interracial. And I think that there's a one line when Kevin James shows up and he's talking about, like, the dogs and everything like that. And he's asking, like, he knows exactly the type of dog that he has. And he says, is that a purebred? It doesn't look purebred to me, or something like that. And he says, no, she's a rescue. We don't know. And he goes on this rampage about, like, mixing blood and
Germany and shit like that. It's like,
yeah, about the Germans, and, like, they were bred for, like, his dog is a German Shepherd, or is that what he said?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a purebred, and it's, like, built for speed and power and all this stuff, like, exactly like what Hitler used to say.
Right. So cool to chip off the block out of my house.
Yeah. But you can tell that something's actually wrong when he starts going off about this, about the dog, and that you shouldn't mix races and that it's not right. And they see that and they say that, like, he needs to leave or whatever. Because I feel like I'm all over the place with this, but Becky was upset when they showed up with the mom. So she was, or with the new stepmom. So she was down at the lake house. So she's not in the house when this happens. And he shows up and he's looking for the dog, and then he has the dog talk. And then when they realize that he's not really there for the dog, that something else is going on, and they tell him to leave, then it gets serious. Then is when this movie takes off. He tells them that they need to sit down. And he's asking for this key or whatever. And he shoots the mom and the stepmom or what, the girlfriend, in the leg.
Yeah,
really quick.
Like, it was quick. He's like, "This, see what happens when you lie to me?" Because he's asking. Because, yeah, like, they, when they killed the dog, they said the dog was Becky. Remember? And they're like, "It took, like, a dog's backpack to you and has a phone." And he's like, "I'm going to tell you that I, you know, this is what happens when you lie to me." Are you doing that part?
That's like, so, I mean, we're all like, we're really, really close to that part. Yeah. So, I had one other movies bro moment, like, in this part. So Becky is at the lake and she obviously hears screaming or something, and she comes back to the house. And she goes into her bedroom to try to get something. Like, you don't know what she's trying to get, like, the backpack or the, she's trying to get her phone, I think, that's in the backpack.
But
so she's like, I don't know which one. It goes back and forth between the walkie-talkie and the backpack a couple times, the shot. Right. And she picks the walkie-talkie out of all things. And that's another movies bro moment. Like, you had to get that way for Becky to communicate with Kevin James. His character is Dominic.
She got the phone, movie's over in like 5 minutes.
Because, yeah, she does say, like, you know, when she gets on the walkie-talkie, she says, I've called the cops. And then he's like, no, you don't. Or no, you didn't. I have your phone. She's like, I went to the neighbors. And he's like, well, this is a child's toy. Like, this can't go that far. So she's got to be somewhere on this property. But it was
I do like how they did that in this movie, how they kept everything, like, reasonable. Like, they realized it was a walkie-talkie and it had a range.
Right, like, but that
everything in this movie is, like, reasonable. There's not, like, a lot of movies bro moments, so where, like, you would see with this type of film. I mean, you gotta understand, this is a 13-year-old girl.
Right.
You know? I don't know.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's literally two movies bro moments in this movie. Like, the reason they're going to this house, or they end up at this house, and Becky grabbing that walkie-talkie so that they can communicate with each other. Right. That's the only reason that, like, that she grabs that. Because they do go back and forth throughout the movie with Becky talking to Dominic on the walkie-talkie and Dominic to her and stuff like that. So, Dominic and his gang, led by Robert Mallet, is who is in this movie. His name is Apex. I thought that was
big fucking dude, man.
Dude, he was ginormous. But that name, I was just like, okay, I get it. Like, you're hitting the nail on the head right there. Apex Predator, like, you're top of the chain. Like,
totally. He could kill anybody he wanted whenever he wanted.
Right. But the plot twist, he's a softie. He can't do kids anymore. he's had a hard time with it. And he said he's not going to kill kids anymore.
Yep.
So, let's talk about the kills, because the kills are really freaking gory in this movie.
I mean, the eyeball part fucking started it off.
Yeah, Becky actually has the key the whole time that she's looking for, or that he's looking for.
It seems like she had the key for a while.
She had it before he even showed up.
It was like, no, I know that, but like, she must have found that key like when she was really little, because you saw the drawings in the back of that basement. It was just like stick figure dolls and... And it was in her little treasure box that she had.
Yeah, that was like her little, what do you want to call it? Like her little hideout, her little safe space or whatever.
Yep. Little trinkets is what she had.
But so he ends up, like, to lure Becky out of the forest. He says, he walks her dad, Jeff, down to the fire pit. And he says, like, Becky, okay, you can see me. I know you can. Just bring me the key or you're going to see what's going to happen to your dad or whatever. You're going to see what it's like to lie to me. And he slowly tortures, Jeff with, a s'more stick or something like that. He heats it up and just like treats it like a hot fire poker.
Well, it's crazy. Cause it would cause pain too, but wouldn't it cauterize as it goes in?
When he gets stabbed. Yeah. But I'm like,
looking, you know what I mean? On
his cheek, that one would look probably would have bled a little bit more, but
yeah,
it probably would have cauterized it. Yeah, exactly. But so she sees that and she says, no, look, she can't take any more torture. And she sees that her dad has, obviously been tortured. And so she's like, I have the key. I'm going to give it to you. And when she's trying to bring the key to him, he ends up shooting her dad, because their dad gets on the walkie, gets this one last final say, and he does the predictable thing, and he has this sweet conversation and tells her to forget about me and run and get out of here. And when that happens, he tries to escape while they're distracted, and while he's running away, Dominic shoots him in the back. And I was surprised right here. Were you?
Me too. Yeah.
Because he actually dies. Like, it wasn't like just one of those fake outs where his dad's going to show up later and save the day. He's dead.
He's dead. Well, it's Joel McHale too. Like, he's like, I don't think he's like, is he an A-list actor? I don't know if you would classify him as A-list, but like, I didn't think they would kill him off that early.
I would say he's a C A-list actor. Like, he's the C tier.
So a B.
Yeah. So
a solid B.
Yeah, I guess.
I didn't expect him to die either.
Yeah, so, but when she sees that he dies, she kind of, this flip switches in her head, because her mom's gone, her dad's gone, and I thought that was kind of cool, the way that Becky, or that Lulu, played this role, is because she really like flips out, like, and she like rages when she goes into these moods when she kills these people. And so she stabs them. Yeah, she stabs them with the eye, or in the eye with the key right away. And I'm not thinking anything of it. Like, I just think it, oh, it's going to be a normal, like, oh, he's just going to put a patch on it from now on or whatever. But he runs back into the house. And,
well, you saw the eye come out when she yanked the key out.
Oh, did you? I missed that.
Yeah, and then, like, he's covering it with his hand, and you could see it sitting in his palm. I'm like, fucking disgusting.
But so they go into the kitchen, and he's like, just cut it off. And so he's trying to cut it off, and one of his other buddies or one of the other gang members has the fat one, as they call him, safety scissors. He's trying to cut it with
kindergarten scissors. Yes.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there gnawing on it. And it's just like,
he's like cutting it, like, swiping a couple times and not cutting. And then Dominic is just finally like, give me, or like, give it here or something like that. And he just puts his head down on a cutting board with the eye there and just chops it off. And then it falls into the drain.
Oh God. It was so graphic, and like, that gotta hurt so bad. I can't even imagine. Like, I don't even know what part of that is still detached. Is that the retina? It has to be the retina.
No, the retina's inside the eye. I think that's like the cervical cord or something. That attaches to the brain.
God.
Yeah, but I don't even know how that works, because he doesn't even like flinch. Like, I don't know if there are many nerve endings in your eyeball or something like that. Maybe that's why it didn't hurt.
Well, there has to be.
There's rods and cones, but I don't know about nerve endings. Have you ever, like, your eyeball doesn't ever itch?
I'm Googling
it
right now.
Right. But he literally doesn't flinch cutting that thing off.
There's more than 1 million nerve fibers that carry visual messages.
But not feeling. That's like your brain. There's a whole bunch of nerves in your brain, but like, you can't feel your brain, obviously, but.
I don't know, but it was fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it was pretty gross kill. But so he sends out his other people kind of like, okay, I mean, you two go get her. And Apex was here at the house with him. So the fat dude. The fat guy is what, because she calls him back and she says, the fat guy looks like he can lose a little weight. So she's like taunting Dominic over the walkie talkie here. And she's in her little clubhouse. She has a clubhouse outside of the house in the woods. And her dog Diego's in there. And
that dog's pretty badass, by the way.
Yeah, they're two pit bulls, is what they look like. But so she it has this little scene with this dude in the I don't even know his name in the movie. It's just orange camo guy. Cole is his name.
We'll call him Dickhead.
Dickhead Cole. These all guys are all a bunch of douchebags. So but he kind of like is having this conversation with Becky. She's inside the house. He's not coming in there because the dog's in there, and he has this thing about dogs. He's the one that killed the first dog. And Becky and him are going back and forth, and he's like, I just want the key. I don't want to hurt you. Just give me the key and I will go away. And she says, or she looks at a picture of her family, and something flips in her head or something, and she goes psycho mode, or sicko mode, as my son would say.
Sicko mode. She fucking flips a switch for sure.
Yeah, and it's all like, all of a sudden she goes from normal 13-year-old girl to Kevin.
40-year-old.
Yeah. No, but she's all of a sudden like booby trapping everything, and she like instantly, so what she does is she grabs this ruler, she snaps it in half to where it's like a pointy, sharp, jagged edge, and then grabs a whole bunch of colored pencils and like tapes them together. And to
she
make
killed like a grown, there's no way that she would be a 13-year-old kill a grown man like that. I don't know, man. Sneaking up, maybe, but.
So, well, that's what she did. She snuck up. So she gets on top of the roof and she throws a quarter and says, here's your key. And so he goes around and he starts to look for the key. And while Hera's back is turned to her, she gets on a zip line. Yeah. And zip lines down behind them and she kicks him and like stabs him with the ruler at that point. And so right there, he's already, you know, weakened, obviously.
I just don't know. Like, that could be a movie's bro moment for me.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could see it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when you wrestle with your kids. I mean, your son's 13. Like, it would take
also the same size as me as far as height. So,
but I was going to say, like, you're easily way more stronger than your 13-year-old.
Right.
Just like that full-grown adult was with a 13-year-old girl, like, I don't even think the zipline kick would discombobulate somebody to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm not a doctor or...
I'll give you that one. This one is a movie bro moment. Okay.
The other one's not so much, I feel like. This one... Because that's what I kept thinking. I was like, bullshit. There's no way you would get that type of leverage on... I mean, they're colored pencils. Like, yeah, they'll stab you.
Well, it's just like Anna. She took a dude out with a fork in the last movie.
Yeah, I don't know. That one might have been movies bro for me, too. But I don't know. Colored pencils and a ruler, that's tough. It's like MacGyver killing someone with a paper plate or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's like Jason Bourne status right there.
She kills him, and then the fat one is coming to find him, and he finds out that he's been killed. And Becky, during this whole time, gets like on this montage as far as like, it's literally like straight from Home Alone. It shows her getting booby traps ready, pulling wire, putting nails in boards. And she basically like antagonizes this guy to chase her into the booby traps. And he chases her down to the end of the lake and takes. So bad. This is the only scene that my wife watched. And I guess there is a movie's bro moment here. Like, so we'll talk about that. But so she gets down to the lake. He trips over the wire that's over across the dock or whatever. And
fishing line.
Yeah, and falls into the 2x4 with the nails. And he stands up and they're sticking outside of his head or outside of his like gut. And Becky pulls it out and like she just repeatedly is like beating him with this.
But again, another grown man, you could just stand up and
dude, you take a nail to the side of the head though. And I think you're gonna be
pretty part, yeah. Especially right to the temple. I mean, shit, it could kill that. See, that's more believable to me than like colored pencils.
Yeah, that temple kill, like he should have died right there. Like I was surprised he was able to live after that one. Yep. But he trips and he falls into the lake, and this is the movie's bro moment. So she puts the boat motor in reverse and backs it up on top of him and starts cutting his guts open and stuff like that. I don't know if a boat motor propeller like can spin that fast. When it's in reverse, like they're not designed to go that fast when they're in reverse.
Well, my thought was, why not just let him drown? That's way more painful death than it's a more prolonged death, I would think, than getting cut open by a propeller.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. I've never done either. So I've never drowned or been cut open with a boat propeller. Knock on wood.
That's how next week we hear the headline, Ty dies from. Guys. Drowning and boat propeller twice.
Boat propeller cut his leg off and then he drowned.
Apex is on the hunt here and he's following him down and he gets down to the lake and sees Becky there and they kind of have this like weird standoff. And
see, the movie could have ended here. Like the movie continued banking off of his like remorse for not wanting to kill any more kids. Like, he slammed her down. When he chokeslammed her, that probably would have killed her in real life.
At least knocked her out. There's no way she's...
And then he socked her in the chest.
Yeah.
A man that really dies, you punch someone in the chest, like, you probably die.
This dude's like 6'7", 250 pounds, easy.
Easy. He is a fucking machine.
Yeah, and so he has this
car, like, you're probably gonna die. Because can it, like, if it skips a beat or something, if you fuck up the arrhythmic of it, like, you can die?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that dude, that grown man, that chest, that punch in the chest, that probably could have killed her. Yeah. But he has this remorseful, like, you know, little like, time right here. And he, you know, says, I can't do this anymore. And he tells her this little story or this little, like, saying that he goes, like, every time that you kill someone, it leaves a stain. And he says, you're young enough. You don't have a lot of these stains. You don't want to do this anymore. He says, just get up and walk away. He goes, I have too many stains. I can't do this anymore. And so he lets her go. He literally lets her walk away.
But he sucker punched that dog when he jumped at him. That was kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah. He does sucker punch Diego. Yeah.
This dog's mean. Or not really.
So this whole time, Dominic is back in the house with the wife and the girlfriend, or the wife and the, or not the wife.
The fiance and the son.
Yeah, the fiance and the son. And Becky ends up showing up at the house, and she kind of does this, like, weird strangers thing where she does this smile, like, out of fog.
Her name's Kayla.
Kayla, okay.
Kayla and Ty.
So, what's up, Ty? Yeah.
What up, T.Y.? You know what she was from, by the way?
What?
She's in The Handmaid's Tale. That's where I might remembered her from.
Oh, yeah. She was like, wasn't she?
This lady before, and then, yep, she was in that one.
Okay. I knew I'd seen her somewhere before. I just didn't know where it was at.
She was really funny at the end toward the movie, at the end, if that made sense.
You got, like, comedy out of this movie?
No, not comedy. Like, it was like a, like, an awesome moment when she just, like, spit in his face.
Yeah.
And she kept cussing at him, and her son Ty was like, Mommy, you cussed.
Right. Well, that the whole reason that she's doing that is because he was about to spot Becky, and
yeah,
she distracted him so he couldn't see Becky. And he goes on this rampage, and he's like beating her and everything like that and threatening her. And the car alarm goes off. And so he goes outside to see what's going on. And I thought this was a really cool, like, idea of Becky, because it keeps her out of way. And I know it sucks because she's putting the dog in harm, but the dog is locked in the van. And when he comes to the van, she unlocks it, and the dog jumps out and starts attacking Dominic.
Yeah, by his arm.
He tries to close it again, and then Becky just opens the door again remotely. And I thought that was pretty cool. Like, she's just going to keep letting him come.
I thought it was dumb that he thought she was actually in the van with the dog.
Right. This is like,
I know you're in there, Becky. I'm like, well, I don't think I would be in there.
Yeah, we've seen too many movies. We know she's in another car right there. And she is. She's right behind him in the fiance's car.
Kayla's car.
And so she rams the car and hits him. And she gets into an accident because of this. And this is how the cops are called to show up and help. But she, like, the OnStar or whatever says, like, she doesn't answer anything after she's been in the accident. And so the police are called. Then Dominic gets up and
really smart. Because if you don't call, that they assume you're incoherent or you're knocked out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
There would have been questions and, you know, so I thought that was pretty smart by a 13-year-old girl to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but then we get this big battle scene right here where Dominic and Becky face off with each other. And Dominic has the upper hand, and he's, like, really punching her pretty hard, and he's gonna end up killing her. He's choking her. And then Apex comes to save the day.
Well, you forgot the fire pit part.
What fire pit part? The dad?
And she brings him down to the fire pit.
Oh, yeah.
That part was kind of cool. He's, like, trying to kiss her ass, like, I can see your untapped potential, and she has a super soaker full of gasoline.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that one badass line that she says right there where she's like, Dominic says, I really don't want to hurt you. And she's like, oh, but I really want to hurt you. And that's when she shoots him with the super soaker. Yeah. But then she comes over and she just sprays him with water, like, after that. Like, I don't know what she thought that was going to do. I mean, obviously there's fuel in there, but he's already out. Like, the fire's already out.
Which is why would you put more gas on it?
Yeah.
That was stupid.
But back to Dominic and Becky on the ground, and Apex comes to save the day. And Becky gets up. Dominic and Apex are going back and forth. And Becky gets on, was it a riding lawnmower?
It was like a four-wheeler that had a riding lawnmower.
Because it was like a trailer.
I see them at like the college all the time. I actually see them on the highway. That's how they mow the lawns on the highway, like the in-betweens, the medians and the highway, the grass. It's just like something that you pull behind it and it just has the blades on it.
Okay.
But it's a four-wheeler that has a trailer and it pulls. Yeah, so it's a lawnmower. We'll just say lawnmower.
Because I was like, how are you going to get this over him? Like, it didn't seem plausible to me, but it happens. And this scene was super, super gory because she runs over his head and just sits there. And then it cuts to the aftermath. And it seriously looks like,
a human cut in half.
It literally, like, the head almost looks like a 90-degree angle cut. He's laying on the ground.
And then blood seeping through, like, the ripples of the brain. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yo, it was so... so crazy. Gory. All you saw was just like this, a mess. Like, you can tell what it is, but there's blood like shooting out the throat and stuff like that into the, like, on the top of the head and stuff. It was just gory as all get out. And so Apex is down, and Becky, I thought this was really badass too. Like, she goes up and she picks up the gun, and he's like trying to like have this speech as far as like, you know, I feel good about saving you or whatever. He feels remorseful and stuff. And Becky just fires a shot right into his head and takes him out. And then she rages again. She just does this. She screams and she gets like, you know, I don't know how you would react, but I feel like you would have some kind of emotion if that happened, obviously.
That'd be crazy.
But and that's pretty much the movie. The ma or the fiance and Ty and what was her name?
Kayla.
They escape. Becky, it then cuts back to her being interviewed. And I think they're kind of trying to see like if she was competent or not, as far as if this was self-defense or if she was taking pleasure in these killings or whatever.
Right.
During this whatever you call it, this interrogation or whatever. And then it just shows the credits after that.
There's no way in hell they can do a sequel. Unless she turns into a villain and she just turns into like this killing spree.
No, it's super, super easy. Dominic was not the leader of the gang. There's a higher up and he gets the rest of the gang to come after Becky because she still has the key at the end of the movie.
That is kind of stupid that they didn't give us like an indication of what the key was for.
Yeah. And it's not even like, obviously opens a box, but I don't think that it's a box that's going to give them, like, you would think that as far as a white supremacist group or whatever, that money would not be your goal as far as what you're trying to acquire. You would think that it would be power or something like that as far as along those lines. So I don't know what could be in a box that would be so valuable to them.
I don't know.
I want to be like Brad Pitt. What's in the box?
Right. Put your dick in a box.
It's my dick in a box.
Yeah. I have no idea what it would be. I mean, that's probably the only reason why I would ever watch the second one is if it actually showed what the key was for. Besides an eye gouge. I don't know.
So what did you think of this movie overall? Like, I mean, I don't want to give it as far as ratings right now, but so when I first watched this, I was telling my brother-in-law about this. Shout out Ryan if you're listening. But he was like asking like if I seen anything cool or whatever, and I told him like Becky was really good. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's a little gory, but I really liked it. And he texted me back the next day and he's like, dude, that was like if Quentin Tarantino directed Home Alone. And I thought, that's a pretty spot on. The only thing that I would change on it a little bit is I would say Quentin Tarantino's buddy, Eli Roth, if he directed this movie. Because Eli Roth is really the gory, gore effect guy. He did Cabin Fever, or not. Yeah, Cabin Fever. Right. Did you ever see that one?
With Chris Hemsworth?
No, not that one. That one's Cabin in the Woods.
Oh,
Cabin maybe. Fever has, from Boy Meets World, his buddy,
Sean,
he's in it. And then it's also got a mom from a Disney show. I think her name is Moon something, but there's this one scene in that movie. So have you seen it?
I'm looking at it right now to see if I have. I don't think I have.
So basically in that movie, what happens is there is a flesh-eating disease and these guys all contract it and they slowly rot away or whatever. But there's a scene that one of the lady girl is shaving her legs in the bathtub and her skin is already peeling off and like deteriorating and stuff like that. And so she's shaving like chunks of her skin off. And that's where I kind of was like, okay, I totally get that with this Becky that Eli Roth and Tarantino, they kind of have some similarities. They do a lot of movies together. But I do kind of get that, not so much like I'm left home alone, but a little kid that takes rampage on adults.
Right.
I thought it was a great movie. I was really pleasantly surprised with it. I was really, for a movie that like in 2020 that you get no buzz because of the virus and everything like that and happen to, you know, just word of mouth and stuff like this.
Yeah.
I still don't think that a lot of people have heard about this movie. And when we first started this podcast,
my sister loves movies like this. And I asked her last night when I got down if she's seen it. She's like, no, I haven't heard of it.
Oh, yeah, this is right in my alley, but we'll get that when we get the ratings. But when we first started this podcast back in May, this was one of the movies that I really wanted to do because I just watched it. Obviously, it came out a month after we started this podcast. It might have been like a week or two after we started this podcast. And I really want to do it, but like when we're trying to build an audience and stuff like that, you really wanted to have a lot of movies that people have seen already. And this was so new that, and plus with it not being there was not a rental at the time, you had to buy it. But it was only $13 or something like that. And I'm like, shoot, that's a movie ticket. I'll buy that. Like,
right.
So this is the second time that I've watched it, obviously, but I'm glad that we got to do it. I've always had this in my head as far as like one of the ones that I wanted to do for the podcast. But
yeah, that was great. I liked it.
Now that we've had some time, it's been out for a while. Some more people might've seen it. We might get some more people that will listen and not just skip this episode because they've never heard of this movie.
Right. I was surprised. So, pleasantly.
Well, let's get into it then. Let's get down to business. 71% on tomato meter, 56% audience score, Ty. Is it really though? And I already know you're not going to press play again because.
Yeah, I probably won't.
So I won't even ask so that bad. Question.
No, I will not press play again. Not because, I mean, that's just my style. I'm just built different, I guess.
This movie's never going to be on TV, and so you're never going to come across it.
If my kids somehow want to watch it, then I'll probably watch it with
that's
them.
Your that's, answer every damn time. If my kids want to watch it,
if my kids want to watch it. I mean, if I do watch it again, it'll probably be another decade. When my kids are 18, 17, whatever. I don't think it's 71, man. I can't go that high. I can't. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised. It's just the part that just gets me is a 13-year-old girl killing four grown men. I just can't. The movie should have ended when the Apex guy just fucking destroyed her in that field. If you take that out, I mean, I'm going to go, my score is like 68. I can't go any higher than that, man. Like, the only best thing I can say is I was pleasantly surprised. Like factual killings, like I can see them how they were killed feasible, but just not by who they were killed by. I just can't see that. Her body weight alone doesn't carry that much against grown men. But
they also have a whole series about a killer doll that's about 2 feet tall that kills a bunch of people. That works out.
Is this a shocker that I've never seen that either?
You've never seen Child's Play?
Oh, yeah, I've seen Child's Play.
Okay.
Like, anyways.
No, it's not a
shocker. That's like a horror. That's like that like fits in like the sci-fi category where like all bets are off. Like this was like real world. But yeah, what I say, 68? That's what I'm giving it.
68. Okay. So I'm going to go, 71%. Is it really though? I'm going to say yes. Absolutely. 71%. I feel like there is some stuff that is not great about this movie. A couple movies, bro moments, but overall I thought it's a fun movie. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. It's not too long. It's definitely
give you that.
It
was a good length.
I think that this is a genre bending movie. I feel like it is, mystery and thriller is, I think, the wrong word. I would describe this as a gore, horror, action. Maybe not action. Horror in it.
I lean more toward action than horror, hands down.
But like, I think that this has like, it can pull from every genre as far as like fans and stuff. Like, horror fans are gonna like this movie because there is the gore side of it, and then the drama people are gonna like it because it is like on your seat, like kind of like, oh my gosh, is she gonna get caught? Like type of action, or drama, thriller. The mystery,
I'd say,
like,
thriller would be mine. If I had to pick one, it'd be thriller.
The mystery, I think the only thing that I would say is, what's the key? What's in the box? Like, but so yeah, absolutely 71%. I thought Kevin James did an amazing job. I thought that Lulu Wilson did an amazing job. Joel McHale, for being a comedian, was not funny at all, and he wasn't supposed to be. And I thought that was great.
Come on, Chipmunk.
Yeah, everybody when you really boil it down to, it has a bunch of movie or comedic actors in this movie that are all serious straight shooters in this movie. Yep. And they do a great job. So
they do a really good job.
71%, absolutely. Yes, it is. So together, as an ERT combined, that's a 69.5, which I think is a great score for this movie. A lot of people are going to enjoy it. There are going to be some people that are going to be turned off by the gore.
Nice.
You kill a dog and that automatically knocks it down a little bit for me.
They kill kids. So that.
Well, that was just, what is it about? Like, I should have brought this up during the movie, but what is it about? So multiple people die in this, even kids die in this off screen. So you don't see it. And that doesn't affect you as much as the freaking dog that dies. With 3 bullet shots, wounds.
Right. I don't give a fuck with animals dying in movies.
Oh, I have a hard time. Like when a dog dies, like, no, like that's it. Like,
no,
I don't know. Maybe it's just because they're so like innocent and defenseless, but they're not. I mean, I know they can fight back.
You described a child too.
Yeah, I know, right? I just described a child.
Like, no, fuck that. I don't care about the fucking animals.
The dog,
I mean, I care about them in real life. But when they die in the movies, I'm like, well, I don't fucking care. Kids, I'm like, come on, dude, you really like that has to be in there. Like that played zero weight. Well, I guess that kind of set the tone for they don't fucking care.
Well, and it set the tone like
answer me this. Like, why were they so quick to kill the guy and his kids to get the car, but they weren't, they didn't just walk into that house and just start fucking killing them?
That's it. Movies, bro.
You know what I mean? Like, they were so quick to kill that guy. They were like, get out of your car, dress as cops. They fucking killed him, beat the shit out of the dad. Presumably killed the kids. Why did they fucking play around so much with Kayla, Ty, and Jeff?
You wouldn't have had a movie if you didn't have it. No movies, bro. That's why.
That's my bad thinking right there.
Will I press play again? Absolutely. I've obviously done it. I've watched it twice within a year span.
$17 invested in it, or $13.
I don't care. I'll watch this multiple times. I enjoy this movie. It's right up my alley. It's got gore and horror, and yeah, it's a great movie. So, Well, that's it for this episode of Is It Really Though? Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We have one more episode of our Kick-Ass Women series. We're going in to watch Hannah next week. That's the only one that we got left. I've never seen it. You've never seen it. So we should get some fresh perspectives on this. And hopefully we'll go 4 for 4. And we've been not... So this movie was the first one that you didn't go over the rating, but you still gave it a pretty good rating. You only gave it 2 less than what it actually is, or 3 less than what it actually is.
Yeah.
So that's not that bad. So go watch Hannah, come back next week, and we will see if we are 4 for 4.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you. Out.
Hey, man. Y'all been asking for this shit, man. I guess I've been getting shit, man. Look, I knew this bitch named Becky. Becky. She liked to talk real sexy.
Nasty bitch.
I had to tell her she gon' stop. Yeah. Cause everybody know that she a thot.
Fucking nasty bitch.
But this shit.